Good morning, everyone. I hope everyone's had a good week of healthy spiritual thinking, that as we've been going through the book of Philippians, you've been able to not just get through the Sunday to hear the message through, but really start applying the things that we've been learning about and growing in together as a church. And so I hope that you've been practicing an intentional healthy spiritual thinking, thinking that is based on the Word of God. If you look at a lot of the titles of my sermons, you'll see that the word true is in front. We've talked about true forgiveness, true joy, and now today, true contentment. And the word true is so important because the world has its own definition of what is true. They look around the world, they observe, perhaps from their own experience, and they say, well, what I think or feel or what I've experienced, that's what tells me what is true and what is not. But as Christians, we know that the word true must always be equal with the Word of God. Not our own experience, no matter how powerful it may feel or make us think or even make us doubt at times different truth, but we look always back to the Word of God. That is the authority on which we stand as believers of Jesus Christ. Amen? And we need to learn to do that now more than ever as we see the world so strong in its culture and agendas and all these different things going on that we see. As believers of Jesus Christ, we stand on the Word of God. He is the one who gives to us what is true. And today we're going to talk about another aspect of that truth as we talk about what it is to have true contentment, to be truly content in your life. And I believe that God looks at each of one of us here. If you're a believer of Jesus Christ, you are a child of God. And he desires a lot for us as his children. He doesn't look at us and say, they better follow all my rules today. He looks at us and he says, I hope that they'll see the joy and the contentment that comes when they obey, when they live in such a way that I have made them to live for. So let's go ahead and read in the Word of God, the truth in the Word, as we look at Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 13 together. Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 13. This is the Word of God. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Him, Christ, who strengthens me. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this time of worship. God, worship. You are the one who is worthy of our praise. You are the one who we come to sing songs about, to hear truth about, because you are the one, the only one truly worth living for. And so I pray, God, that you would be with each one of us here, that everyone here who is sitting in this place of worship, God, that every heart will be in tune with your word through the power of your Holy Spirit. Would you clear our minds and hearts from any distraction that may take us away from being present, fully present here and now, because God, I believe and know that you want to speak to our church today, and you want to encourage us, and you want to challenge us to live as your children, as you have called us to do. So would you help us, Lord, to listen, to take in deep the truth of your word, and be with me as I preach your word, God. May I truly speak your truth and your word, and would you speak powerfully through me, through the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. When we think about contentment, I know that's probably a word that we don't use as often as kind of the word that we use in its place, maybe happiness, right? When we think about being content or being happy in this world, you know, even as Christians, you know, things seem to get a lot harder. And one of the reasons I believe that is because we oftentimes think that finding contentment or happiness comes with the things around us. When you receive something, when you achieve something, when you gain something, then you can be content because now you have more. You have something more of worth or value that you can kind of name to yourself. Not only that, you know, when you think about the latest gadgets and all the things with technology improving. I mean, I've shared before my first computer was a desktop. It was a Compaq Presario. Compaq is now out of business. And rightly so, that computer was really bad. But that, when I first bought my first computer with my hard-earned money from JCPenney Warehouse Division, I thought I'm going to use this thing for the rest of my life. The thing had a 3 gigabyte hard drive, okay? Now you have little sticks that hold terabytes of information. So that just goes to show you, if I were to show you that Compaq Presario right now, you'd be like, oh, that thing is junk. And it did make me happy for a little while. But then a couple months later, I saw another model and then another model. And my friends who were much more well off than me with a much better model that I would never be able to have. And that kind of happiness of having that thing kind of quickly dissipated. Right? You see, that kind of worldly contentment is not a long-lasting or constant thing. When we're constantly looking at the world around us and seeing better and shinier and something that we don't have, why do they have that? Why don't I have that? When we look outwardly into the world and live through experience, then contentment actually just becomes kind of sometimes I have it, sometimes I don't. And it depends on what we receive or don't receive and all these things. And what God tells us today through his word is that there is a true contentment, just like the songs that we sing. I hope that you pay attention to the words and the songs that we sing, which no matter what you may be going through in life, there is a contentment, a real joy and happiness that can be there even when you're in the darkest valleys of your life. Even when you're in the pit of your life where you just wonder, is there anything worse that could happen to me? Is there anything more painful or hurtful or a worse situation that there could be in my life? Even in those moments, God is saying that true contentment is still possible and present in those times. And we're going to learn about that together today because Paul here is addressing the Philippian church and he's saying that true contentment, it originates not from creation because those things will only buy you contentment for a time, but true contentment comes from not creation, but from the one creator, the one true God, the only one who can give us a true contentment that lasts whether you're on the mountains or whether you're in the valleys, because he is the one who is with us. And so I want to ask this question, I'm going to help answer that through this word, is how can we as children of God be truly content? How can we be truly content? There's a few things that we must know about true contentment if we are going to have it as children of God. First thing is this, that we see from this passage, is that true contentment is learned, okay? True contentment is learned, okay? Secondly, true contentment is not circumstantial, okay? True contentment is not circumstantial. And lastly, a very simple truth that we know, true contentment is found in God. So let's go ahead and start with that first point about true contentment. Point number one is this: true contentment must be learned. Verses 10 through 11, let's read through it together again as I read out loud. I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had an opportunity. Now there, Paul is just talking about the Philippian church wanting to support his ministry and him in his time of need. Okay, but let's look at verse 11 here. It says, not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I have learned in whatever situation that I am to be content. Now, this is a very important thing that we recognize here because, again, we can't take away from who Paul is and what he has gone through in his life to now be here, remember, writing this letter as he is in prison, in chains. But who was he before? He was preaching Christ. Who was he before preaching Christ crucified and resurrected? Remember, he was an enemy of Christ. In fact, putting together killings and arrests of people who followed the name of Jesus Christ. And I think that it's important to see his life in the context. Something has changed in him, and we've talked about it, and we know that it changed when he actually experienced the forgiving grace of Jesus Christ. And his life turned around. Where he was going away from God, now he's for the Lord, and even in the midst of chains, able to encourage the believers in Philippi. What an amazing thing. But it says that he learned, he had to learn that in all circumstances, he is to be content. Now, I'm going to take it way back, and I think it's important to do so, not to just get kind of stuck in the New Testament, but see how everything connects. It's one big story. Anyone who tells you that the Old Testament is one thing and the New Testament is another, they don't have a big picture of the Bible. Because the Old Testament points forward to Christ, and the New Testament is where Christ, we see his ministry and what he does in this world to glorify God. And after he dies but is raised again, then we see people who point back to Jesus and say, remember that. But in the very beginning, we know that when God made Adam and Eve, he did not make them with sin. He made them and he saw it and he said it was good. And he made them to be in relationship, right relationship with God himself and with one another. And we know that when they disobeyed God, sin came into the world. But what is it that caused them to disobey God? We know the serpent, what he was saying was he was twisting truth. And that fruit, it looked good to have. And it made them wonder, is God not giving us something more? Is he actually holding back from us? You see, what God made in the Garden of Eden is for them to have a place where they can walk with him, have a right relationship with him, and be satisfied. But when they disobeyed God, that's the first time when a type of dissatisfaction came into the world. It's the first time when a discontentment came into the world, where they started thinking, is there more? Is there something else? Rather than looking at all they had in God. Rather than looking at what God had provided for them in this garden. You know, if you think about it, sometimes we probably say, oh, it's all Adam and Eve's fault. Oh, just because of them, sin's in the world. And I can kind of relate with that. I mean, if you think about an entire forest, right, of trees that have beautiful, lush fruits that you could eat, and God says, just don't eat from this one tree. And they kind of, one day, you know, they're over there by that one tree. But when they sin, and that relationship with God is broken, it's no longer what it once was. Something happens. Sin causes us to look away from God and to look outward, to compare, to want what we don't have, to put others down when we can so that we feel better about ourselves. You see, we're meant to always look first at who Christ is, who God is, and sin takes us away from that. You see, it's a broken relationship with God that actually brought discontent into this world. We see it even in the story of Cain and Abel. Why did Cain kill Abel? There was a jealousy looking at Abel and saying, hey, he has something that I don't have. Why does he get favor? And then he kills his own brother. Because the focus was not on God. You see, if he was gone, I'm going to be content. I want what he has. If I have what he has, I'm going to be content. If this thing that is stressing me out and hurt, causing me pain, as long as that's gone, then I will be content. That's what sin makes us to think. Just keep hunting for the next thing that will make us happy, that will satisfy us. But when we become believers of Jesus Christ, he, through his sacrifice upon the cross, his death and resurrection, what has he done? He re-establishes the right relationship that we were supposed to have with God from the beginning. And he introduces to us, again, the contentment, the true contentment that was meant for us in the first place, to show us that we have all that we need in the Lord. You see, when we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are forgiven. We are changed. We're made new. We're no longer just a part of this world. We are made for another world. We talked and learned about being kingdom citizens. But the reality is that just because you become a believer of Jesus Christ, it doesn't mean that all of a sudden you know how to be content in every single situation. I think sometimes we feel like that. We're like, why am I not happy? You know, we still kind of live like the world, even as believers of Jesus Christ. When things don't go our way, we are no longer content. When hardship comes our way, we're no longer content. When things go our way, we say, thank you, Jesus, I'm content now. So you see, Paul is saying he had to learn that in every situation and circumstance to be content. And I believe that we as a church, myself included, we need to learn that together. And so what's the process of learning? I mean, all of us here at some point have taken an exam or gone to school in our lives. It takes practice. It takes trying to apply the things that we learn and that we know to be true. And so what Paul is saying here is, I have been through the highs and lows in life, but the reality of how I learned it is by continuing to go back to the Lord every time I stepped away from that kind of true contentment. Every time there was a hint of discontent or dissatisfaction entering into my mind or into my heart, I said, I'm going to go to the Lord and be reminded of what he's done for me upon the cross and his death and resurrection. We have to learn to practice true contentment so that we can be truly content. Do you guys hear that? It's not just something that's going to be like, ooh, oh, I'm truly content no matter what I go through. No, it means when you're going through difficulty, how are you reacting? Are you saying, God, why is this happening? Forget you, God. Let me try to take care of this myself. Or are you going to the Lord and saying, God, I may not know why this is happening. I feel sad. I feel broken. I feel down. But God, I know that you are with me. God, I know that you have forgiven me and that you promise that you're working for my good. You see how that works? And the more you practice that, you keep going to the Lord, he's going to continue to strengthen you and show you what it means to be truly content. That even through the difficult times in your life, you can still celebrate Christ and who he is in your life. Second thing is this, and it kind of goes hand in hand, but true contentment is not circumstantial, okay? True contentment is not circumstantial, and ultimately what that means is that true contentment is not defined or based on circumstances, things that happen in your life. Look again at verse 12. It says, I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. Again, too often we look to things, to things around us to bring us contentment and happiness. If I just had that model of that car, if I just had that girl, if I just had that guy, if I was just a little funnier, if I was just a little better looking, if I had just gotten that job, if I had just gotten that promotion, if I just had a little more money in the bank, and the list goes on and on, if I was just a little smarter, then I would be more content. then I could get more things to make myself happier, more satisfied. Even as Christians, sometimes we adhere to this kind of belief about what contentment is. And so when we get things, when we receive things, we feel satisfied. We say, thank you, God. But when those things get taken away from us or we're unable to achieve the things that we're hopeful for, then we say, I'm not happy. I'll wait till the next thing, good thing that happens to be happy. But true contentment is not circumstantial. You know, I remember one of my college pastors when I was at the University of Illinois in Urbana-Champaign, and he always shared with us just very honestly about his life. And at the time, he and his wife had been trying to have children for many years. I mean, they were married for a long time, and they were actively trying to have children, and it just seemed like no matter how long the time went and how hard they were really trying with all the calendars and trying to, you know, set up, make sure that they're, you know, trying on the right day and all these kind of things, it just didn't come together. And so this pastor, he would come and he would share vulnerably with our college group that he was going through a real valley in his life. You see, it doesn't always have to be just small complaints about life and things like that. Sometimes it really deals with the deepest longings and desires of your heart. And for him, he desired to have children for as long as even he could remember, a lot like me. But as he would share, the crazy thing is, as heartbroken as he was to share that truth, that they're still trying and nothing's happening, the thing that stuck out most is not his sadness or brokenness, but it was this kind of, it's not really, you can't explain it. But you could sense that he was deeply sad and still wanting this thing, but there was a type of peace and satisfaction you could tell he still had in his life because he knew who he was as a child of God. You see, this thing that he wanted so deeply in his heart that was not coming, the circumstances, if the circumstances would dictate, then he should not be content. But he had a right relationship with Jesus Christ. He knew to trust in him, that God was with him and for him, that even through this painful valley of his life, he can trust in God. You see, he had true contentment. It wasn't because he was willing himself to be happy through these times. You know, sometimes people say, you just got to pretend to be happy until you are. No. There's one source of true contentment, and that's the Lord. And so we learn how to go to him. We learn how to open our hands and surrender and say, God, even in my feelings of sadness, I can be content because I know that you have given me all things through Christ. Now, you know, fast forward many years, and, you know, he's no longer a college pastor, but he's actually a missionary. And, you know, I'm very joyful to say he's actually a missionary, and it's no longer just him and his wife, but they have three boys, three healthy boys, much later in their marriage than they ever expected, but three healthy boys. I still remember getting the email from them while they were, you know, overseas and saying, We're ecstatic and joyful and give glory to God that we're expecting our first. And I myself, you know, I was still single at the time. And man, I literally, you know, I'm a kind of emotional guy at times. But there was some tears shed. Okay, I wasn't cutting onions. It was really tears. Because I was so happy for them. Because I remembered those times of sharing. I remembered how long they had been trying, and I remember just hearing in his sharing like the depth of how much he wanted to have children. And now he had children. What an amazing thing. But here's my question to you. Is he now truly content because he's able to have children, because they have children now? Like, is he more content now that he's received what he's wanted so much in his heart? That's the question. What if he never was able to have children? Would he still have true contentment? Circumstances would say, heck no, you didn't get what you wanted. Don't be content. What's there to be content about? Look around you. Look at your situation. Come on. There's no reason. But the Bible says if you are a child of God, true contentment comes from the Lord, not from the circumstances around you. Amen? Maybe there's some of us here today sitting in this very sanctuary. Maybe there's a valley you're going through right now, or there's something that's been just ripping your heart apart because it's frustrating or it's made you sad or you just don't know how you're supposed to deal with this thing and you feel like you're in the valley, you're in the thick of things. God wants to say to you, turn to me. Let me give you true contentment. I know how you feel and I know the things that you're thinking and going through, but I love you and I want you to know that you can have contentment because I have given you my only son, Jesus Christ, who died for you and rose again. He was victorious over your sin and he wants you to live in that kind of freedom and victory, even from your pain and sadness. It doesn't mean that all that sorrow will just all of a sudden go away or the frustrations will go away, but you can still be content in knowing that God, who is in control of all things, is with you right there. So be encouraged. Be encouraged in the Lord. True contentment is not circumstantial. It's not just when things go your way, you're content. And when things don't go your way, you're not content. No, God is with you. He is constant in his love and purpose for your life. Don't allow circumstances to dictate your contentment, because contentment comes from the Lord. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 11, 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 11, this is what it says. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing with these, we will be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. But as for you, O man of God, flee these things, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, and gentleness. You see, there is this kind of connection. When we take our eyes off of God, naturally, we have to look somewhere. Naturally, we look elsewhere. And our hearts, it's a tricky thing. But yes, even as Christians, you know, some have actually meshed this idea of prosperity and having worldly things with faith. And I'm sure we've all heard here about the prosperity gospel. And pastors will actually come out and fly in on their jets for Sunday worship, and say, hey, you see all these things I have? It's because God has blessed me because I've put in the time and prayer, and I've put in the time and I've believed hard enough that he has given me what I want. That's not the gospel. Look at Paul and look in the book of Timothy. Don't look to the things of this world to give you contentment. When you know you have the Lord, you know that that's all you need. And I'm not saying that that's just a blanket thing and all of a sudden it makes life easier. But he will give you contentment. He will give you peace. Learn how to go to him. Stop trying to fill your cravings for this world. Now, this passage is not just against money, okay? It's not about being rich or not being rich, but it's the heart that says, what is my focus? Where am I looking for satisfaction? If it's in money or any other thing in this world, you're going to be disappointed. And it's going to fade. I don't care how many millions upon millions that you receive in dollar bills. It's not going to give you true satisfaction in your heart. Only God can do that. So in verse 12 it says, I know how to be brought low and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance I've learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. What is the situation or circumstance of your life? Is there some kind of hardship? Is there something that you're going through, maybe something even that you went through in the past that you just haven't been able to let go of, and it's keeping you from being truly content. Bring it before God. Receive His true contentment that comes through the reminder of what He's done for you in His love and grace. Lastly, and this point is just something that is, it's in the Lord. True contentment is found in God, nowhere else, nothing else. It's in Him. Now, verse 13 is a famous verse. Who here has heard Philippians 4:13 before? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, or in the ESV, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Now, this is a powerful verse, and one that's also been powerfully used out of context. Okay? Now, if you've used it out of context, I'm not here to judge you. I mean, maybe rebuke in some way by teaching what this verse is actually about. But too many people look at this verse and they use it as a mantra. A mantra that they can repeat in their minds and hearts until they get what they want. Oh, I really want that house. Lord, I need a loan. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You will help me to buy that house. And there are pastors who will say, yes, believe and you'll receive. Name it. Claim it. All sorts of really, I mean, it's actually pretty catchy, right? Like, name it and claim it, right? But this verse is not meant for you to get whatever you want from this world. It's not to strengthen you to be able to do what you want to do and what you want to receive in some kind of selfish or sinful way. This verse is referring to what Paul has been talking about. Remember, in context is important. That's why you can't just take one verse and say, see, this is what God is saying. No, when Paul says this, he's saying he's actually able to continue just living. He can do the ups and the downs of life because he knows who it is that strengthens him and is with him. Amen? He's not saying, I can get what I want. You think he wants to be in those chains? You think he's saying, okay, if I just keep on believing hard enough, these chains will be set free and I'll be good to go and I'll be comfortable and I'll go back to my ways of being wealthy and having a lot? No. He's saying, I can do all things. I can just live this life. I can experience the highs and I can experience the worst of lows and still be content. Why? Not because I figured it out, but because I keep on being reminded of this loving God, Christ, who died on the cross for my sins. I was killing people who said they believe in Jesus. I was putting them in prison. And He forgave me. He met me where I was at, and He showed me grace and love. Now my life is different. I wonder if your life is different. I wonder if you have a true contentment in your heart because you know that the true contentment that we seek is only in the Lord. As children of God, I believe that we still find ourselves in discontentment because we forget who we are in the Lord. We forget Christ and what He's done. Or maybe we haven't forgotten, but we just haven't put into practice the things that we learn at church, the truth that we say that we believe in. We just haven't practiced consciously enough what it means to apply that into every situation of life. And it causes us to question God. When we don't have true contentment, when we're not content, it's actually saying, God, I'm forgetting who You are. I'm forgetting that You're a good God who's in control of all things. Romans chapter 8, verse 32 says this, He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? He gives us everything that we need. And all that we could ever want as our hearts grow closer to the Lord, it actually is just more of Him. You know, we think God becomes almost like a tool for us to receive more in this world so that we can be happier in life. But you'll see as you mature in Christ, and I'm not saying that I've reached that maturity. I'm still growing. But when we start seeing God and realizing, actually, I'm most satisfied when I have more of Jesus. Not when he gives me things or things go my way in life, but I am more content than I could ever be. Not when God finally gives us the child that we have been praying for. Not when my sick relative finally gets well. Not in circumstances, but when I just have more of Jesus, that is when I'm most content. Because I get to have a relationship with God who loves me. Isn't that an amazing thing? And we don't think on that enough. We don't practice that truth enough. And so we start looking outward again. Ooh, why does that person have that? I don't have that. Well, I'd really like that. And you start being discontent, dissatisfied. Keep your eyes on the Lord. True contentment is in God and no one else and nothing else. Even those maybe younger guys who are thinking about, you know, getting married in the future, like, oh, it's going to be perfect when I meet that dream girl, or, oh, it's going to be perfect when I meet that dream guy. Married couples here, it's not all dreams. Well, some type of dream, but the scary ones. But some young people believe that when they get married, they're just going to be so content. La, 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 everything's going to be always content. You find quickly in life, all of us can relate, when you put your hope in things of this world, even in any other relationship, no matter how much love there is in that relationship. With me and my wife, I love her to death. But if my relationship with God is not right, and my focus is not on Him, even in how I love her, everything becomes affected. True contentment cannot be, it just can't be found through any other source but God. Amen? And He offers it to us freely. That's the amazing thing. He offers it to us in every moment, in every situation. We need only to open up our hands and receive. True contentment must be learned. As a church, let's learn to turn to God and His Word. Turn to God in prayer for ourselves and for one another. Let's be a content church because we know Christ who is with us and in us. True contentment is not circumstantial. It's not based on circumstances. Every one of us here, when we share, we would say we've gone through hard times and good times in life. But the reality that God is good and with you through it all, that never changes. And sometimes, in fact, you'll look back on some difficult times that you've had, and maybe you weren't trusting Him in Him at the time, but you look back and you see God's hand holding you through those times. It's an amazing thing, the love of our God. True contentment is in God, period, and nothing else and no one else. So let's learn to hope in Christ. Let's learn to go to God in the Word and in prayer. Let's continue to meet together in fellowship and on Sundays to become more content. Not because we receive more of anything in this world, but because we are growing deeper in our relationship with Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Just take one moment to respond to the Word of God in prayer. Are you content in your life? Are you content in your life? Man, just saying hi to everyone on Sundays and seeing everyone, I know that I don't know everything that's going on in everyone's life here. But even as I pray for our church, I know that there's hurts and different things going on in our lives where it's hard. And for some of us here, maybe it's pushing us almost to a breaking point. But God knows and He sees. And He wants you to not fake being happy, but He wants you to embrace the true contentment that He offers to you by His grace through His Son, Jesus Christ. So will you do that now? Will you just pray and say, God, I want to know this true contentment. Not the happiness of this world that is fleeting, that fades away, but I want to grow deeper in my relationship with you so that I can have a contentment that anchors me because it's anchored in the God that I know and love. Can you pray for that? If you're not a believer of Jesus Christ, I praise God that you're here to hear the word of God. You can pray too. This true contentment is available to you as well. Even right now, if you want to place your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you open up your heart and say, Lord, I want to know what it means to be truly content in every situation and circumstance, He will receive you. And you will be a child of His for now and forever until we see Him again. So receive Him if He's speaking into your heart. If you've seen the dissatisfaction of your life because you've been living for the things of this world and God is saying, I'm the only one who can satisfy. Stop looking for contentment and all these other things. True contentment is in me. So just pray. Will you pray? Will you humble yourself? I need to do that every day. Just say, God, I need you. Help me to remember who I am in Christ. Or I want to be in Christ. Lord, help me. And He'll receive you. Just take one more moment to pray. And then I'll close this. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much that you offer to us this true contentment. And we all admit that too often we just fall in line with the world and we look at circumstances to dictate whether we are truly content or not. And all along you are with us, wanting to guide us through your Holy Spirit and through your word and with your love to be content in the highest of mountains and the lowest of valleys, because you are still the same God who gave His only Son for us. That we who were sinners lost in dissatisfaction could have true contentment that comes by your grace. So be with our church. May we be a church that is full of people who are content. Not people who are just always happy because things are going well, but content because we have you, our Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.